Doing the Vatal Malacha for 14 days. Why do you have them come to Yerushalayim for 14 days? What? Since this came to a standstill for 14 days. Why did you do that? Why did you make it simultaneously? Right. Everything got took it. So he's saying, he didn't want to do that because they marred in Simcha the Simcha. You don't call me gold Simcha. So then the Gemara says there's no proof from there because it may be that that's not the reason why he didn't push on. He didn't want to delay in order to raise the Beis HaMikdash. It had nothing to do with Emar and Simcha the Simcha. They had finished the Beis HaMikdash. If they had finished building the Beis HaMikdash Erev Sukkot, then they would have had the Chanukah on the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot. It just didn't happen to fall out that way, and so he didn't want to delay. And so it had nothing to do with the fact of Emar and Simcha the Simcha, because we could be Emar and Simcha the Simcha, and the reason why he wasn't Ma'arif the Simcha with the Simcha was simply because it just didn't work out that way. They didn't want to delay. But the Hechad is Rama, where it just happens to coincide, so Abdina. So we would have done it there, and we can do it here too. So we don't have a proof that Ma'arif the Simcha with the Simcha. So we're back to square one. How do we know Ma'arif the Simcha with the Simcha? The word says, if Shlema HaMelech didn't want to delay because there's a problem of delaying the Beis HaMikdash, in that, once the Beis HaMikdash is finished, you should or ought to right away start bringing Karbanos on the Beis on the Mitzvah. Once it's complete, once the Beis HaMikdash is ready to go into service, it should go into service immediately. If that was the problem, we're saying that perhaps the reason why Shlomo HaMelech didn't want to delay was because once he finished the Beit HaMikdash, he wanted to use it immediately, because if you don't delay bringing Karbanos on the Beit HaMikdash once it's completed. So he could have done something. What, you know what he could have done? He can do what everybody does when it comes to the Siyum of the Masechta. people put away, they finish on the Sechta, and they leave over a little bit of the Sechta, and it comes to 9 days, and then they just eat. It comes by a Hainus Bechayim, and they make it. It doesn't work out that most people have, they just so happen to finish the Sechta everything. So he says, what you could have done is leave over a little bit of the Beis HaMikdash to finish, and wait until Erev Sukkot to do it. And then say, we're going to make a seum of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to inaugurate it on Sukkot. Why do you do that? If that was the case, then he should have left over a little bit. Actually, more accurately, he should have left over a little bit of the Beis HaMikdash to complete. So the Gemara says, no, she would have been in Beis HaMikdash when we say it even. There's a rule, you don't delay concluding the Beis HaMikdash. Yet there's a Nevuah, the Navi says how to build the Beis HaMikdash, you don't stop in the middle. The Gemara says, you know what, it's true that you don't stop while you're actually building and doing everything that's necessary to complete the Beis HaMikdash. But what they could have done is finish the Beis HaMikdash except for one little part that's not really absolutely necessary to the Beis HaMikdash. They could have completed the entire Beis HaMikdash, but on the roof of the Heichal, they had razor blades. They had standing razor blades on the roof. The roof came to a point, and at the top of the roof, there was a standing razor blade to prevent birds from sitting on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and soiling the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So they put standing blades on the roof. So there's two opinions, whether it was the entire roof or roof came into one amma at the top, so the birds don't sit on the side of the roof, they sit on the top of the roof on that one amma. So they put on that amma, they covered it with standing blades. So the amma, Kalia Oide, the amma that they had to drive away the Oide, the razor. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's not really a fundamental part of the Beis HaMikdash. Amma Kalia Edev, Tzedech Binyan Abayesu. That was part of the Nevuah. That's part of the building. That's not some extra part of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a necessary part of the Beis HaMikdash. Every part of the Beis HaMikdash was necessary. There's nothing that was done in the Beis HaMikdash that wasn't necessary. In other words, don't come back and tell me some other part of the Beis HaMikdash that wasn't necessary. If it wasn't necessary, then they could have brought the karbanos. There's no part of the Beis HaMikdash that isn't necessary. Everything was built by Nevuah. Elamid, the Miyazah Kras. So the Gemara says, we learn it out actually from the way the pasuk is written. Let's see, there's an extra part of the pasuk. Ksiv, it says, Arab Aso Yoim. It says that there was altogether 14 days of celebration. Shivat Yomim, Lamali. So what do you have to tell me? 7 days and 7 days. I know, it's 14 days. Well, say Shivat Yomim. What do you have to say? Our Bazar. Lamali. What do you need to say? 7 and 7 is 14. You know how to add. The Gemara says, Mami, now from here is a proof. Ani l'chud b'hani l'chud. That's what the Pasuk is trying to tell us, is there was 14 altogether because 7 and 7 were two separate things. They were not, they had to be separate. This had to be a 7-day period, and that had to be a 7-day period. And so it wasn't just 14 days, it was 7 and 7. 7 days because they couldn't come involved. So we see from here that from a pasuk in Ma'ariv Simcha v'Simcha, from the fact that the pasuk said 7 and 7 is 14, we know that in Ma'ariv Simcha v'Simcha. Other apartment, it would have been obvious to bring this explanation first. They're going to go get that. Other apartment, Rafaelach said, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Oyus HaShana, that year that they inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, we spoke about this a few days ago, but also you saw the Yom Kippur, they did not fast on Yom Kippur. They didn't do the Yom Kippur activities. There's five things that are forbidden on Yom Kippur. And they did not refrain from those five things. So they ate, they drank, but Mary on Yom Kippur. Even though I said, yo, you know, how can they do that? Well, let's hold on. And they were worried afterwards. And they said, perhaps the enemies of the Jews are now deserving of being annihilated. Here we're talking about the enemies of the Jews, meaning they were referring to themselves, but talking about the enemies, let it happen to our enemies. So Abaskel emanated from Amra, Lahan, and said to them, you're all fitting to have a Chayav Ilam. So the Gemara asks, okay, that's all very nice and sound, you know, that's wonderful, but where do you see that in the Pasuk? My approach, where do you see it? They said, Amar Kal V'chayim. They said a Kal V'chayim. Amar Mishkan, Sh'ein Kedushah.
In other words, the Gemara is saying we don't Pasuk, Allah, we must go.
No, how do we know that this all, there's a Pasuk, which is that?
Where's the verse that shows?
Why did they know to do this? Why did they engage in this practice to begin with? Why? Can you keep it? Why did they fast?
They had a Shita.
So what was the Shita? That's
because
the first question. So the Gemara is asking a question over here. You have it's Yom Kippur. Everyone knows Yom Kippur. You could be a little dancing, you could be a little thing. Come Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. It's a key of Kippur. What were they thinking? Asks the Gemara. The Gemara said, after Yom Kippur, they came and they said, oh, maybe we did something wrong. So okay. They didn't realize that before Yom Kippur. So what was going on? What was unfolding?
To have more.
So maybe they must have had some drasha that they had a drush, and then afterward they started to reconsider and think maybe the drasha wasn't such a drush. My drush. What was the drasha? Amrus. They said Kal V'chayim. And that's the Kal V'chayim. Mishkan Shein Kedushah. The Kedushah say Mom. Well, let's look at the Mishkan. When they inaugurated the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan was for a building that didn't have everlasting holiness when they dissembled the Mishkan. They moved it to the next place. The place where the Mishkan was no longer holy. It becomes mundane like any other place. You don't say, oh, here once stood the Mishkan, it's a holy place. It's not Admas Kedush. Kod Ben Yachid, and what did they bring at that point? Every nut he brought a carbon. He brought his own carbon. It wasn't a carbon for Klal Yisrael. And the nut who brought it, they brought it, the carbonus every day for 12 days. So one of those days was Shabbos. Now we have a rule that only carbonic fiber is Deicha Shabbos, but not carbon yachid. Carbon yachid is not Deicha Shabbos. Never Deicha Shabbos. Yeah? The other time a carbon yachid was Deicha Shabbos is carbon Pesach. But normally, Karmi Yachid is not Deicha Shabbos. Karmi Yachid Deicha Shabbos is a Shkila, and here we're talking about Shabbos is a Shkila.
It's more Chamor.
So, in the Mishkan, the Yachid brought a Karmi Yachid for a Mishkan, for an inauguration of a Mishkan that wouldn't retain everlasting holiness, on a day on which the punishment for violating the holiness of it is skila, and yet the Nasi who brought on the day of Shabbos brought it on Shabbos.
Was it Nasi?
We don't. Well, it depends on what their Shabbos was on that year. So Shabbos is a skila. This is skila. Mikdash. So how much more so? But based on Mikdash, the Kedusha Seivam that has everlasting holiness. The carbon seaport, and Shlomo HaMelech brought carbonates, even though he was bringing the carbonates, he was bringing it on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael themselves were bringing carbonates. It was one big thing of area of carbonates. They were bringing thousands of carbonates on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Yom HaKippurim, and it was only Yom Kippur on which Amish Kadesh, which the punishment for violating its curse and not Skila, the lesser of sanctity than the sanctity of Shabbos. The Kolshkin, but how much more so that you could violate Yom Kippur, if you can violate Shabbos for a carbon yachid, so on Yom Kippur when you're violating it for a carbon tabor. For an everlasting benefit, where the mission was only for a temporary dwelling. So, Marat sounds pretty good to the Talmud Chaver. So why were they suddenly worried after Yom Kippur? So why were they worried after Yom Kippur? More answers, because they realized the flaw in their reasoning. Awesome, says Gavoya. Over there in the time of the Nisiyim, they didn't do anything for themselves. The only thing that the Nasi who brought the carbon on Shabbos did was he brought a carbon on Shabbos. That's for the Eibishter. He brought a carbon for the Eibishter. Hacha, so if they had to get here, they could have rejoiced and done everything. They couldn't have to eat. They ate. They drank. They were marrying Yom Kippur. They were violating Yom Kippur for their own enjoyment. There, they weren't doing anything for their own enjoyment in the Mishkan. So therefore, now they were worried, perhaps, that it was a flawed reasoning. Here they could have brought karbanes, that they brought joy to the Beis HaMikdash in the inauguration by bringing karbanes, but not eating and drinking. So the Gemara said, the reason why they ate and drank was they already thought of that, but they reasoned beforehand that there's no simcha without eating and drinking. So if they're not eating and drinking, it's not going to be a real simcha. So they had a reason why they ate and they drank on Yom Kippur, but they didn't have a perfect kal v'chomer from the Mishkan. Because in the Mishkan, as it stood, they just brought karbanos. So they had a reason why they ate and drank, but they didn't have a kal v'chomer. So now the Gemara asks, okay, so here's the thing. So ultimately, Hashem forgives them, and they go home, and everything's hunky-dory. But how did they know, here's the question, how did they know that at the time of the Mishkan, when the Nesiim brought the Karbonos, that they brought it on consecutive days? Maybe they skipped Shabbos. So there were 12 Nesiim who brought 12 Karbonos, but the first one started on Rosh Chodesh, and the last one ended on the 13th, not on the 12th, because they had a Hesek for Shabbos. So how did they learn a Kal V'chomer from the Mishkan? A Mishkan did not have Shabbos in the moment. How do you know that they were Deicha Shabbos? The Gemara asked, if you want to say, because it says a Pasuk V'yei Marisha on the first day. And it says, so we know that the seventh day, by the time we get to the seventh day, one of those days was Shabbos. So, if it was the seventh day, if we're saying the seventh day means that there were seven consecutive days,
seventh day of the,
hold on, so seventh day, we had a Shabbos. The Gemara asked, the Moshiach of the Karbonos, maybe it means the seventh day of the bringing of the Karbonos, not the seventh day of the week.
Right.
Over a seventh consecutive day. So, I'm going to make a myself because it says, the Yoyim Ashrei also Yoyim. If you look very carefully, it says, the Yoyim, on the Ashrei Asar, on the 11th day, Yoyim day.
And it's twice Yoyim.
Yoyim.
And it's a reboot.
Now, this Gemara has here a libri from it. It seems to suggest that the word Yoyim here is extra to the forms. In the first, it says, Yoyim Arishim, Yoyim Ashenim, Yoyim Ashishim, Yoyim Arivim, Yoyim Chemishim, Yoyim Ashtirim. Yoyim Achat Asar Yoyim, Yoyim Ashrei Asar Yoyim, Yoyim Shreim Asar Yoyim. Yoyim Shreim Asar Yoyim. We have again, we have 2 days that can say Yoyim Yoyim.
Should have said it just so long.
Presumably, the reason why the Pasuk has the Yoyim Yoyim is because you have only 10 ordinals in Hebrew. You don't have infinite number of ordinals. We can say 30 seconds. Say first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th, 13th. 14, 15, 16, and so on forever. Ordinals. Say what place and number it is. So first and second. In Hebrew, there is only 10 ordinals. You can say, Yom HaRishim, the first, Yom HaShemi, the second, Yom HaShlishi, the third, Yom HaShi, the 10th. There's no way to say 11. Achadas means 11. How do you say 11? There's no way to say 11.
I just say 10.
Ha'asiri. You add a yud and an
echar.
You would think that you could do that, but Hebrew grammar doesn't allow it. They're just, if shtemasa means 12. It doesn't mean 12.
Shtemasiri.
You don't say it. There is, you could reinvent Hebrew to do that, but Hebrew doesn't have that. So it has only yom ha'asiri. So how are you now going to say, if you want to say 11 in Hebrew, so the only real way to do it is to say yom ashrei also yom, on the day that's the 11th day. It was not the 11th day, but the day of 11. So that's the yom ashrei also yom signifies that it's not an 11th day, it's 11th day. But the Gemara seems to suggest that the extra word yom here, the word yoin, one of the two is extra.
Yeah.
Okay, so the yoin actually has a yoin, my yoin kuli rasov, just like yoin, a yoin is consecutive. It's the moments that lead to moments. You don't have a hefsek in the middle of the day. You can't have a day, by definition, a day doesn't have any interruption. So these days were days without interruption. It was yoin ashtay yasin yoin, it was just like a day that has no interruption. These 11 days were without interruption. My yom kuli rasa pashti asagat kula ritzo. The Gemara asks, "Is double yom in the reading?" Again, maybe it's talking about days without interruption of days that were eligible days. So I'm sorry.
Of bringing.
So days that there was no interruption of days that weren't eligible. So, like for example, somebody says, "I haven't missed a day of work in 25 years. Do we mean that he worked 7 days a week?
No.
No. It means that days of work, I never miss. So I didn't miss a day. So 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year for 20 years, 25 years, I didn't miss any of those days. So
okay.
Of those days that I was supposed to work, I didn't miss. So they were consecutive, eligible days. So the W.M. Marling said, so the Gemara says, no, I learned from another pasuk, because it says, on the 12th day as well, it says, B'yoyim, which name also yoyim, again, the second yoyim. So the second yoyim over there is to tell me that not only were they yidotso for eligible days, they were actually yidotso, they were completely yidotso, that they were one, they were consecutive, completely consecutive, with no interruption whatsoever, without any interruption whatsoever. Not only yomim v'ru'uyim, but all together without interruption. They were one after the other with absolutely no interruption. So now we know that one of those days was Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, maybe the 11th and the 12th are the same thing, just to tell us the same limud that Yamim Haro'iyim. The Gemara says, in case Reikrei Lamim, you don't need to have two psukim to tell us the same limit. So it has two psukim. One is to tell us that they were in something, and the second one is to tell us that they were completely in something. So now the Gemara asks, Mikdash the Deichiyim Kippurim in all of them. How do we know that the Mikdash should be Deichiyim Kippurim? Yilin and Mikdash, Avos and Yoyim. How do we know that in fact they were Deichiyim? We said that there was 7, and 7 is 14, and since the 7 days of Sukkot, the second 7 days were Sukkot, so the 7 days that preceded it included the Yom Kippur, because the Yom Kippur comes only 5 days before Sukkot, so we assume that they didn't fast on Yom Kippur. They weren't asked the same type of a question. Maybe when it says that they had 7 and 7, then Yomim that were the Uyim. So Yom Kippur is not the Ra'i. So they had, instead of saying that they started on Ches, but the Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph is the 7, and then Kesvah through first Sukkot. So maybe they had, instead of Ches, they started on Zion, and they stopped for Yom Kippur and continued on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis to get the 7. If you want to say that because it's the 14 days, maybe it's only days that were naughty for it, and they skipped the Kippers, and where it says, because you learned that from the state of Shabbat, God, you know, the Muslim app, it says, I've also joined by the Chanukah Mikdash, and it said, by Chanukah Mishkan, so just like all the deer was a Ritzofik, the year also was a Ritzofik. So Yosef Sabaskel, the Gemara said, Yosef Sabaskel, the Omer Lehem Puchem, was Manu Lechei Hava, that Sabaskel came out and said, you're all going to go to Elam Hava. So, from the Nolan Lach, and the Gemara asked, how do we know that they were Mishkan? We say that the Sabaskel, where do we see that there was a Sabaskel that came out and said that? We find the Chalipa, because the Chalipa said, "V'yem Hashmini," it says a pasuk that on the eighth day, Shlomo HaMelech stood up in front of all of the gathered Jewry who came to celebrate the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. And on the eighth day, Shalach Etzah, he sent away the people with a blessing, "V'yivarcha et HaMelech," and they blessed the king, "V'yelchu le'aleihem," and they went back to their tents, smashing joyous. Joyful, but so they live and happy apart. Alcohol, Hatayvash, and Asa Hashem, and Abdu Yisrael, all the good that Hashem did to his servant David and to Yisrael, his nation. And so we said they, Shlomo HaMelech sent them back, La'ayolation, to their camp. Obviously, you should just say, send them back on their way. Well, what's the Oihel? Shaholcha, as we said before, earlier, that the word Oihel means a wife. Shaholcha, Matan, Nesheyim, Betada. They came home, and they were still happy because they found their wives all to be Tahiris, and so they didn't have to delay for their wives. Smechim, that they were joyous, they were happy, Shinodu, Nizir, Hashchina, but they had enjoyment from the Ziv Hashemah, that they enjoyed the experience of basking in the revelation of the Shekhinah. And we find the word Sameach in several places that it refers to enjoyment of the Shekhinah. So they lay, and they were happy, glad of heart. Each one is Abba Ishtib ben Zachar, each one had a from that experience, when they came home in the Shem, their wives became tahiris, and their wives became pregnant, and they had a ben tachar.
Wow.
And we find the word toiv is a, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says toiv, that they looked and they saw that he lived toiv. So it's the tachar. I call it toiv about all the good. But then it says, about all the good that occurred, Shiyasa Sabasko Banu Hem Tulcham is Morim Lechai Elam Haba. You're going to have Elam Haba because Kol HaTayiba, complete goodness, is not something that you can experience in this world. Everything in the world has a mixture of joy and sadness, good and bad. But Kol HaTayiba, that means Elam Haba.
And they would also have
Well, the next year they had all girls. And Elam Haba, they had twins. Some of them had twins. I don't know. It's a good question. Elam Haba, when David asked to David his servant, to Yisrael Amoy, and to Yisrael his nation. Usually, Yisrael Amoy. I can understand that it says that they thank Hashem for the goodness, the kindness that Hashem did for Yisrael, his nation. The Achim Lahu, what was the kindness? Hashem forgave the Yidden, Ahoyim Yom HaKippurim, for eating God Yom Kippur, for desecrating the Yom Kippur. Hello, David Avdei, what's the name of David Avdei? David wasn't even there. David had died years before Shlomo HaMelech was the king. Shlomo ascended to the throne at the end of David's life. So, what does it mean for the goodness and kindness that Hashem did to David? My, he wanted that. So Amar of Yehuda Marav, so Yehuda said the name of Rav, B'shasha B'kish Shlomo L'Hachetan L'Mikdash. But Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring in the Arim into the Kodesh HaKadosh. He had now inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash. And what's the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash? Is to have a dwelling place for Hashem. Well, I can start showing him, but for the most part, you have to have the Arun Kodesh in the Beit HaMikdash. So he went to bring in the Arun, and he had a problem. The gate to the Beis HaMikdash suddenly closed and could not open them. Omar Shleima Esrim Va'arba Rinonis. Shleima HaMelech then sang 24 tefillos. Uloy Menem, he wasn't answered. The gates didn't open. Apostach Va'omar, then he started to say, Su'u Shalim Rasheichem, we say this on Rosh Hashanah, Su'u Shalim Rasheichem, open up your, lift up your gates, lift up the gates you had for loving men, and he wasn't answered. Receive any indication that the gates were going to open. Kim and Sha'amar Hashem HaLikim, and said as a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, God Almighty, I'm Pashuk Mei Meshichecha. Don't forsake David, your anointed one. Remember the chesed of David, your servant. So immediately his tefillos were answered by Yisha. And that moment, all the enemies of David, who for all his life, David had never had enemies who were religious in his entire life. They used to say that he did this Aved and that Aved, and he was not worthy, and he should have been king, and that he stole the kingdom from Saul. Mm-hmm. And they gave him a hard time. They gave him a rough period of monarchy. It was a rough period of monarchy. His reign was full of riots. Include Avshalom and his Avshalom. We're talking about the people who survived God and then were standing out by the Beit HaMikdash. But now they were all felt dead, so their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot. That they when they realized that Hashem opened the gates of the Beit HaMikdash only in the schos of David HaMelech. Yeah, so I call someone clear. I'm just barred through all these ovens, and everyone realized that Hashem had entirely forgiven David for the avera of Bathsheba, and that David, it was only in the schos of David that the whole Beit HaMikdash came into fruition. So Rabbi Yehudim ben Amzai ben Yehudim ben Gedim. Now we're talking about brachas, so the Gemara moves on and says like this, that there was a fellow, Rabbi Yonathan ben Amzai, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gedim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gedim is suggested is in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it says, when Bagbag and ben Hehei, that their names weren't ben Bagbag, and not ben Hehei. But Bagbag is Ben Gadim, and Hey, it also comes out to Gadim. But if you look at Ben Gadim, other parishes and others. So they were studying this, Rabbi Yehudah ben Amzai, and Rabbi Yehudah ben Gadim was studying parishes and others. They did Shim Bar Yechai, they were sitting by Shim Bar Yechai, and studying in the Zara Kirtir in a Bukurta. They left at night. They went to take leave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai at night, and they, as it turned out, they didn't leave. So the Tzach in the morning, Hazir, they came back to Kamastanim, and they came and they asked him for a bracha again to leave. Amr Lahu, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said to them, "Malavich Tzitzim Inay Borta, didn't you already take leave from me last night? Didn't you already get a bracha from me?" Amr Lehi, so they said to him, "Mazatan Rabbeinu, you taught us, Rabbi, the Talmud Shemiftim in Azrei, the one place there is, so it's important in Pamacheret, that if somebody takes leave from his Rebbe at night, but he ends up delaying and staying overnight, he has to again go back and ask permission to leave a second time in the morning." Shenemar, how do we know from this Gemara that we just learned? Shenemar, as it says, in these psukim, Yom Hashmini, on the eighth day, Shalach HaTa'am, on the eighth day, Shalom HaMelech sent away the people, Vayivarchu Es HaMelech, and they blessed the king. B'Ksiv, and then it says later, Yom Esrim V'Shloish LaChedesh. So Yom Hashmini, the eighth day of Sukkot, or the eighth day after the first day of Sukkot, so eighth day of Shmini Atzeres, right? So what is that? That's Chaf Bey. And then the pasuk says that the Yemetzim Shleishim Lachedesh on the 23rd of the seventh month, Shalach HaTa'am, he sent away the. So they came on the 22nd, and they came again on the 23rd. Telling me, "Kaz, we're not from here. Let's tell them the Niftim and Avoy that somebody who took leave from his Rebbe. The Lomba is a year, and he stayed, he tarried, and slept over in the city. So he punched him upon my character to go back and take leave from him again. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave him a bracha. But then they left. So this Rav Yehuda from an Amsai and the other thing came, and they left. Amar Leil Rebrei. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, they Adam Halolu, these people, Anoshim Shal Tzurahim, they're people of stature. They're special people. Zilgal Behim, go to them. This is my advice to you, go to them. Do they bore chulcha and ask them for a bracha. So Adam, he went. Ashkechinu de Karama Kroyadi. He came upon them. They were sitting and they were learning. And they were so occupied in their learning that they didn't notice that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's son, Rav Elazar, was standing there. They were asking, so what were they talking about? They stood at the fire and listened, and they were, what were they talking about? They were asking one pasuk, they were asking a contradiction, and so, it says, weigh out the path of your feet, consider how you're going to go, behold, you came, and your entire path you should set straight, and it says another pasuk, the way of life is that you shouldn't wait. So these psukim clearly are talking about a person's consideration of whether he should do a mitzvah. So some say it's about talking about where you have two mitzvahs, which mitzvah you should consider doing. But the more straightforward way of learning it here is that we're talking about where two people, where somebody's sitting and learning Torah, and a mitzvah comes, he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Should he take the opportunity to do the mitzvah, or should he continue studying Torah? So we have one pasuk that says that he should sit and study Torah and forsake the opportunity to do the mitzvah, and another pasuk that says he should seize the opportunity to do the mitzvah. So, because one pasuk says, consider where you should move, you should go with your feet. In other words, stop learning and get up and do something. Or, and then another one says, the way of life is pentapolish, that you shouldn't weigh the consideration of the mitzvah and the mitzvah. But what kash, come with the shashel of this, when do we say that you should not get up and do the mitzvah, but rather continue studying, is a mitzvah that could be done, be performed by somebody else. If somebody comes into the Beis Medrash and says, my car is stuck, I need a boost, and you're sitting and studying prayer, but there's another guy who is not doing anything, he's just sitting and talking in front of the camera. So you can continue studying because the guy who's sitting in front of the camera, he can go give the boost. If there's no one else in the base man, there's this guy needs a boost. You're studying, he needs a boost. Get up and give him a boost. But where somebody else can do it and somebody else is willing to do it, then you rather having your druthers continue to sit and study Torah. This is one way of learning. There's other ways of learning this Gemara. Then they continued. They were continued to sit, and they were asking kavoyeluhu, and they were asking about another contradiction. Sid it says upon it. You call it im yipnim. The chol kafasechel yishuva. The Torah is so precious; it's more precious than pearls. The chol kafasechel yishuva, and all the things that you could desire don't compare to it. So it would seem that from this pasuk that a mitzvah does compare to studying Torah. Why? Because what do you say? The chol kafasechel. All the things that you could desire, but the desires of Hashem, the mitzvahs of Hashem, the chesed of Hashem, would be equal to it. And it says another part. All things of desire don't compare to the study of Torah, which would seem to suggest that even things that are chafetim of Shemayim are not incomparable to the study of Torah. So we have a contradiction of two psukim. Again, the Gemara says, "Come with the shes." So this is talking about where you can perform it through someone. The mitzvah can be performed through someone else, and so in that case, you say that nothing can compare to the study of Torah. Then another pasuk is where it can't be performed, so that could compared to the study of Torah, then you actually should get up and help out the person who is in need. So now they looked up and they saw Shem Chayes on Rav Lezer standing there. So they said, my father, what are you doing here? Amar Lahu, they said to him, Amar Li Abba, because I'm here because my father said, Silga Bayu, go to these people, that they should bless you. Amar Lahu, so they said to him, and you got to listen to this. This is some bracha. Take a listen. Yehei Rav, may it be Hashem's will that is Rabbi Techsa, that you sow and not reap. Tiger of my paper, that you bring in merchandise and be unable to sell it, is what the way Rav Lezer is understanding. Paper for my tiger, may you pay for merchandise and never receive it. Lechei Vesach, may your house be destroyed when you face the Mishkizach, and so you'll have to dwell in an inn.
May that be the will of Hashem?
May your table be in disarray. But when Tehshashah Chadat, may you not see the new year.
What kind of bracha?
Yeah.
He also legabi avua. He came back to his father. He goes back and thank you. And he leaves. And also legabi avua. When he comes back to his father, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai on the leg, he says to his father, "What are you boys of a chuchel leibircha? Not only didn't they give me a bracha, they gave me tzad." The Mepharshim say, from here we see that the Blessed understood that they weren't cursing him, because he doesn't say to his father, "Not only didn't they bless me, they cursed me." He says, "Not only did they not bless me, they gave me tzad. They gave me pain. He doesn't say they get cursed." You would assume the opposite of blessing is cursing. But then, how is it blessing? They cursing. Instead, he says, "No, isn't it blessing? Get inside." In other words, they gave me something. They said to me something that I don't understand. I can't comprehend what they were talking about. And I'm assuming that they meant something by this, and it wasn't bad. But so I said, "You can't figure out what it is," and I'm assuming it wasn't a brach.
What counts that?
On that way, Sir Shumbay Kari says to him, "My Amrullah, what did they say to you?" Hachi v'hachi amrulis. He's repeated everything that they said to him. Amar leis, he said to him, and Shem Rechai said to his son Elazar, Tanach kulu b'chus. These were all blessings in disguise. Here's the little text that when they said, may you sow and not reap, they weren't talking about the field. Rather, they were talking about children. Toilet bunny, may you give birth to children. Halayamusu, may they not die in your lifetime, so that you will not harvest them. Tayyar will take it. That you will bring in and you will not give out. Tayyar kalosa, you will bring in daughters-in-law, and that your yibanach and your sons won't die. The lifkum, that they will, then the daughters will leave their husband's house and go home to their parents' home. But now the Marsha asks, they already gave a bracha that the children won't die in the father's lifetime. So this seems to be the same bracha. So the Marsha said, what the bracha was here was an additional bracha was that the daughters-in-law won't leave under any circumstances, meaning that they'll be happily married and there won't be any divorce. You will give out and not bring in, not just that you'll pay for merchandise and not receive it, but you will give birth to daughters, and you'll send them out to get married. They'll go to live with their husband, your sons-in-law won't die, and so that your daughters will never return home, and also they'll stay happily married with their sons-in-law. Your house should be destroyed, Velisa is Ushfizach, and you should stay in it in. By Alma Ushfizach, they were saying, may you live a very long time, because we say that the Kala Elam Kule Dema Leprezaka, it's just a hallway, it's an entranceway to the Tzachlim, to the palace, and one of the Gemara's refined place, that they considered the world to be a temporary place. When you stay in this inn for a very long time and you never have to go to Olam Haba, and that world, the other world to come, is called Bayis. It says, because we find the Pasuk Kirvam Batimei Lo'olam. It'll be inside them forever. Kirvam Elekivram. That their kever will be for the Rishayim forever. So we see that the Olam Haba is considered to be something of forever. It's the permanent path. The Seirach, when we said that the Leval of the Seirach, that you may be able be complete disarray, was the house completely messy. It's the body of Gnosi. You'll have little children. They're going to run around and make their toes. Turn over the tables. Turn over the tablecloths. I call that
that's
the brush. I the lawyer actually shot that. They said, may you not see a new year. The lawyer comes. May your wife not die early. The lawyer thinks of insight. And then you'll have to marry another wife. And you know what happens when you marry another wife? You have the son of the Shana. So that you never have a second son of the Shana.
So
why don't they give a straightforward answer?
I don't know what they're
playing games. So in the Ein Yaakov, there's a Riyadh says as follows. They figured like this. As between them and Shem Bar Yechai is the Rashbi. In comparison, even though they were Balei Tzuda, they weren't the Rashbi. They came up with this plan. They said like this. We'll give him a bracha that he completely will fail to understand. He's not going to have an inkling about what we're talking. He's going to go back to his father, repeat everything that we said, and then what's going to happen? His father's going to have to explain it to him. But while he's explaining it to him, he's giving him a bracha. I saw a story with the belt of them, with the Baba Vedabra. There was a guy who was coming to the Baba Vedabra, and he was asking him for a bracha of the children, and he kept asking him, didn't give him a bracha. Honestly, I don't have anything for you. I don't have a bracha there. What do you want? He kept coming back at that, pestering stuff. However, as soon as the guy came to the Baba Vedabra, he said to him, You're calling for bracha for children? And the guy says, Omen. The same thing is, you're going to say it, so I'm going to take them along. So he'll get a bracha, not from us, he'll get a bracha, not only from us, he'll get a bracha from the Rashi out of it. So that was their plan. The other says that, in very short, that there are certain brachas that are so high, they're on such a high level that they can only appear as a klomah. The tzichacha is really a bracha, it's all bracha. But they're on the level of that they're so high that just like where you have a son, somebody who's in a dark room for months and months and looks out into the sun, can't find that sun. Anybody. Terrible. But somebody who's been outside for a while, lovely, enjoys it. The sun, summertime, time of activity, time of happiness. Oh, summer's here, smell the roses. What's the difference? One is able to perceive the bracha, and the other one, it seems like the bracha is a complete follow. So we find the bracha the same thing, that it's really bracha. Here also, the place from where they drank down the bracha was from such a high source that in words it came out of the former, but in fact, if somebody said it sounds good, what he's really doing was giving you an ultra, ultra bracha.
Because you cannot give.
There's no words to express the bracha for what they were saying other than to say it's giving up. Rav Shimon ben Chalapta, Ifnei Minei Dera. So Rav Shimon ben Chalapta was taking leave of Das. Amalei, so after he left, after Rav Shimon ben Chalapta left, the Rav said to his son, go to him and get from him a bracha. Amalei, so when he went to him, he said, may it be Hashem's will that you don't embarrass others and may you not be embarrassed. That was the bracha. Also, Gabi Avua, he came back to his father, Amar Lei, the Rav asked, my Amar Lach, what is the Rishim Berchalasa tell you? Amar Lei, Yilam Ba'alma, he told me, Pasha, there's things with me, any special bracha. He told me, Alta Vayish, Alta Vayish. He said, what are you talking about? Why do you think this is a small bracha? This is, in fact, the very bracha that Hashem gave you. The Tanya Bar, as you learned, the Ksiv, it says a possibly a chaltan ochel misaveya, you'll be eating and be satisfied. The Hilaltan, and you will praise Hashem. And then the Pasuk continues. And you will not be embarrassed.
Sure.
And you'll know that I am amongst the Yidden. And my people will never be embarrassed. Now, so here, where do we see that he said bayish and misbayish? On the other side, that they won't be misbayish, but that they won't be embarrassed. Others, do we see? So the person explained that here, what's going on over here is that what Rav Shimon ben Chalapta said is, if you want that no one will ever embarrass you, it's by not being careful not to embarrass others. People see that you're upgeared, be careful not to embarrass anyone, people will reciprocate and they won't embarrass you. Here in the Pasuk, it says two times, if you look, you see it says twice, embarrassment, that you won't embarrass. So the first one is to tell you won't embarrass, and the second one tells you won't embarrass us. If you don't want to be embarrassed, you won't embarrass others. So it's implicit in the public, you know, both times we're talking about embarrassed, you won't be embarrassed. If you don't want to be embarrassed, don't embarrass, don't go about by embarrassing others.
So wait a minute. If we say that by not embarrassing others, you yourself will then get themselves won't be embarrassed, it's less of a bracha.
No, but the point being is that it's not an absolute given. You know, you have people there. They could say good morning to somebody with a big smile. Okay, come. Get out of my seat. I had a hard time. Just get out of my seat. So usually the people reciprocate in kind. But here we're saying that if you're careful about this, there'll be a bracha involved in it that people will reciprocate in kind.
You could think that the real bracha would be even though you do it, you won't be.
It's a lot of things that you do, and you know, as they have a saying, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Okay? So, not always do people reciprocate in kind. So we say, but if you're careful about this, people will reciprocate. Put it up on them. These are the takshitim of Nashim. It said that a woman can engage in these activities on Chol HaMoed. She could put on eyeshadow or play kesef, and she can comb her hair to part it. And she could put on rouge, she could put on red coloring on her face. The Amri and others say that she can use lime to take off the hair off her face. It's as a chemical to remove hair. That she can take off, she can use it to remove her pubic hair.
Why do they say that? What's the nafkamina?
Why would they think you're not allowed to? Well, all of these things are malachas. You're not allowed to do them on Shabbat. we're saying that even though they're a malacha, but since it gives joy to the person, so she's allowed to engage in activities on Chalamayim. The reason that Rav Chisda, the wife of Rav Chisda, Mekashta Ampe Kalosa, she was putting on her makeup in front of her daughter-in-law. In other words, the point of saying her daughter-in-law was to tell us she was no youngster. She already had a daughter-in-law. Yosef Rabbeinu Bar Chinina, Rabbeinu Bar Chinina was sitting there, and he said, Hamei Rav Chisda to Rav Chisda, his wife was there, putting on makeup in front of her daughter-in-law, and so Rav Chinina said, Yosef Kamar, she was sitting there, he said, Loi Shamer Ali Yolda. That when did we say that a woman is allowed to engage in these activities and it gives her great pleasure is when it's a young woman. Although if it came an old woman, it's not going to help much, so it doesn't give her all that much pleasure, so why should we permit her to do all these malachim and chalamayim? So on that way, he said to him, Elikim, I swear to you, Afilu imach, even your mother, Afilu ima imach, even your grandmother, even a woman who is just about to die, she's delighted to put on makeup to run to a wedding. The Amir Inche, as we say, there's a saying, Bashitin ke Bashit, that a 60-year-old woman is like a 60-year-old girl. The Count Pablo daughter, when she hears wedding bells, she goes running. So true. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Boitos. Rabbi Yehuda says that she should not put on wine to remove her fear. Under Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, usually possible, a woman shouldn't put on lime to remove, as a chemical to remove here. She shouldn't be able to look, because at the time that she's wearing it, it makes her look disgusting, so she feels bad while she's wearing it. Afterwards, she's happy, but at the time, she's not happy. Amazed at Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that she could put on lime, the thing she said with a couple of the moyer, that if she could put on the lime and have the hair be removed while it's still chalamoid and remove the lime, and now she's going to be able to complete the whole process while it's still before yamtiv, she defaults to the moyer that she can engage in this activity on moyer. Even though she's saddened by the fact that she looks pretty odd, you know, to put on the face masks and the covers on their own, they look a little strange while they're doing it, but afterwards, they're happy. Oh, my skin feels so tight, it feels so young. Same thing, when it removes the hair, they say, oh, my skin is so smooth, it's so shiny, it's wonderful. Even though she's sad at the moment, later on, during Yom, it will come. Making like her son, so she knows that she's soon going to be happy about it, so she's not completely sad. The Gemara asked immediately, Rabbi Yehuda really believe that when there's a choice, when there's two things that are going to happen at the same time, that a person is going to feel sad, but afterwards the person is going to immediately feel happy, that we say that the feelings of happiness override the feelings of sadness, do we really subscribe to that svara? We're going to find that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to that svara. And that's why immediately Rabbi Yehuda believe that when there's a thing that makes a person feel sad but ultimately happy about it, that the feelings of happiness override the feelings of sadness. But now we learn that when it comes to the days of learning the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that there's certain things that you know how to do already from 3 days before the Agoyisha holiday, an idolatrous holiday. Because the idolaters, they give thanks to the Avodah Zarah, then they say, oh, thank you to the Avodah Zarah for this wonderful business deal that I just had in the last few days. The Rabbi Yehuda even prayed in the hand, but the Rabbi Yehuda said that if you gave a loan to an idolater, and now it's the time of his contest, the time of his holiday, so you can go and collect the loan from the borrower. And Meshameka, because he has the borrower is paying back, the borrower is paying back, he feels bad that he now has to pay. He had money in his pocket. So, oh, I have $20 in my pocket. And then this guy comes to the yard, go, give me $20. He pulls out $20. He made him feel bad. So he's not going to go thank his idol that, oh, thank you for sending my lender to go collect the money. So even though you're not engaged in business, you can go collect the debt. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to collect from him the loan. Because even though he's sad at the moment that he's paying it, 2 minutes later, he's happy, like as when he said, oh, I'm busted. I paid off the loan. People have, when you know, the final day when they pay off their last mortgage payment, they make a mortgage burning ceremony, they make a party. Ah, we got rid of the debt. So people are happy. So therefore, says the Chachamim, you're not allowed to collect a loan on the day of a holiday or the days surrounding the holiday of celebrating an idolatrous holiday.
You know, in other words, makes them happy on their own holiday.
Yeah, right, because then they, on an idolatrous holiday, they're going to go and give thanks to their idol.
So
anyway, we see that Rabbi Yehuda said you are allowed to collect. So we see that he doesn't subscribe to this notion of making that after you pay, you're happy. He says, because at the moment he's paying, he's bad. And that's the main thing. He's bad at the moment he's paying. But yet, we say that a woman could put on a line to remove bodily hair, because after she takes it off, she's happy. And since she's taking it off while still chalamayim, so she's happy on the opposite, and that overrides. So we see two contradictory statements by Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, or Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Tanach Lehilchos Moed, you can't compare Avodah Zarah to Hilchos Moed. The Kulo Meisar Asher with the Meich Lachas Man. Everything that we permit on Chol HaMoed is something that's going to make sad in him at the moment he's engaging in it, but he's going to be happy afterwards. When a person says, okay, listen, my fence broke down or my canal collapsed and I want to repair it, while he's doing this back-breaking labor, he's not happy. But afterwards, he felt a sense of satisfaction, thank God it's done, now the water's flowing, and the garden's going to be watered, and everything is going to grow. Baruch Hashem, he's happy. Yeah? So everything on Moyed that we permitted was, he's made their achshav, and he's made their lachers man. You permit cooking on Chol HaMoed. While the woman is slaving over the meal, she's not happy about the cooking, but afterwards, she presents it, and it's bad. Meal, and everybody's talking and chatting and happy. She feels satisfaction from the meal that she made. But while she's slaving over the store, she's not that happy. And yet we say that she's allowed to do it. So everything about Chol HaMoed is Mitzvah Achshav, the Sanech Lacher's fine. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the fact is that the end is going to be that he's going to be Sanech. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that. So Rabbi Yehuda says, at the moment that is the payment, he's feeling sad. I ask, he's going to feel happy. You know, the point of Chol HaMoed though is that we do everything where it's because of afterwards he's going to be happy. So that's just the rule of Chol HaMoed. It has nothing to do with other applications. You can't apply it elsewhere. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's true that afterwards you're going to feel happy. But we don't care. At the moment you're collecting it, he's feeling sad, and that's the main thing. And I'm saying no.
No.
He goes, oh. This rule of that happiness applies all over. Navina Omar, Navina says, Kusi, in the beginning, Peroyen, Lo'ilam, Nidzer. That really, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is as follows. It's true that the woman, when she puts on the line and she feels disgusting for a while, but afterwards she takes it off, she feels happy. The same thing is with the guy. He pays the you would think the same thing is with the guy, that he pays the loan and afterwards he feels happy that he paid off the loan, but that isn't always true. There are some people that are very honest, and so they're happy when they paid off the loan and something gets off their mind, everything's straight. But as you see with subprime mortgages in America, people don't pay their mortgages. There were millions and millions of people who were underwater and made a conscious decision that even though they have the money to pay their mortgage, decided they are not paying their mortgage. They'd rather have the home foreclosed on where they had promised to pay, not to go into foreclosure, but to pay. And they said, it's not worth my while to pay the loan. I'd rather have my home foreclosed. Or tried to renegotiate the terms of the loan. I was at 6%. I'll get it down to 1.5%, knock down $25,000 of principal, and get a 40-year loan. That's what people were doing. Millions of people did this. In other words, what do we see? People are not happy about paying the loan, not before, not after, not nothing. You're giving the druthers, saying that paying the loan. They'll try, and people will try to get out of paying the loan. So when a person pays the loan, just, I shouldn't renegotiate it. I'm going to pay you, I'll pay them $1,000. I shouldn't have said I'm going into bankruptcy. I'll give them $500. I'm going to pay the whole thing. Afterwards, he feels bad that he paid it. So says to the viewer, people generally, while there's other things where they're happy, and there are some honest people, and they're happy, Taka, when they finish paying off a loan, a lot of people afterwards say, I'm going to pay it.
Let's ask you something. The quota doesn't have the men who want to pay the mortgage.
Yes.
Never has never.
If it's Geneva?
Yes.
You got to talk to your rabbi.
No, I'll ask you.
It depends on how you went about it. There are a lot of people who actually didn't have the money. They were under. In 2007, 2008, a lot of people lost their jobs. So not only was their home underwater, they also didn't have money. They actually didn't have the money.
So if you didn't have the money, so the house.
So they said, okay,
so
come for close. The banks didn't want it because now the house was worth less than what the loan was worth. So they didn't want to take the house. They'd rather use, so they renegotiated. So there were certain people who circumstances dictated that they had to renegotiate the loan. And there were other people who were just fine chazedim. They just did it because they could. There are a lot of goyim that they're just as happy not to pay the loans. And after they pay it, they have charata that they pay it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bnei Yisrael, she heal the pirka." When you have daughters, young Jewish girls, when they reach puberty, but they're not yet of the age of puberty, so they're not general state. They have premature puberty, so they're embarrassed to have the pubic hair. So they heal the shanim, and they have that reach the age of like 12, 13 when normal girls. So the poor ones among them, they remove the hair with lines. It's a painful way. The more wealthy ones would use fine flour to the sort of like a waxing. The daughters of princesses, the shaman, they would use myrrh oil. Shemar, as it says in the pasuk, by Esther, she should chadash in shemen amar, she should chadash in dasbam. What they do with the shemen amar? My shemen amar. The Rebbeinu Barchiya, what is shemen amar? So Rebbeinu Barchiya says tatach. Rebbeinu Barami amar. Rebbeinu Barami says shemen zayin shleihei shlishit. What it is oil, olive oil that from olives that weren't yet one third ripe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two opinions as to whether he's arguing with the previous opinion, that he's arguing and saying it's not satachas, but it's really olive oil that didn't ripen even a third. Or was he saying that what is satachas? Satachas also is an unusual word. And that, if you want to know what that is, that's olive oil that's in, or olives that's in crushed olive. I'm not sure exactly what it's called, crushed olive, with the olive oil that didn't ripen a third. Shemin Zayin, it's the olive oil that you took out from the, it might have some pieces of it, or maybe just pure olive oil on it. Tanya, we learned Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm teaching on Shemin Zayin. Yeah, he says, there's another thing I'm thinking, and that's Shemin Zayin Shleheish, that olive oil that didn't ripen a third, the long enough, and I say, why do they use it? To smear on themselves, so make sure that as a tag, my other as a muscle, because it removes the hair and it makes the skin have a healthy glow to it. Rabibi have le brata. Rabibi had a daughter who he would tapla eved that he would put on this seed on her or on one limb at a time. Shortel was Alameda's sister. When it came time to marry her off, the family, the prospective family, paid him 400 sous for the schus of taking his daughter as a talent. So there was a kufi bishvul kufi. There was a kufi living in the neighborhood. He saw what happened. He also had a daughter. Papa b'chad zimla, he just was impatient and he just covered her entire body with his seed. And from the pain, they said she's dying in pain. Amar, so he said, he walked around saying, Kotla Bibi Lubrati, Bibi killed my daughter.
No.
What's true? Amar Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Rabibi, the Shasa Shikra, Rabibi, whose family, they would drink a lot of beer. So they got spanked. The girl, everyone drank beer in the family. The girls drank beer, so they were on big, big, kind of big and ruddy and hairy, and they were like men. They were beers walking. So they needed to engage in this type of activity to remove the beer to make them look beautiful. But he says, but I'm not. In my family, the girls delicious. They don't drink beer, so they maintain their figure and their beauty. So they're playing not interested. They don't need to engage in this process.
And therefore that's what it is.
Because it's not the same anymore. It's a different one. You really know more in it. It's a new more.